And did your family start interacting with the local Jewish community?
Not very much. My mother was Orthodox, quite religious, and we had big battles about that, that she wanted me to do the right thing. And by the time I was about 14, I must admit I had lost all interest in religion or any belief in God. And we had quite a lot of difficulty there, but we lived always in the West End. So then she went to Garnet Hill Synagogue, and I did a bar mitzvah there. But after the bar mitzvah, I only went to my children's bar mitzvah, but I never went to synagogue, so I didn't have much contact with other Jewish people. But I had quite a lot of contact, though, with the residual kinder transportees who came back to Glasgow, the Jewish children who were in a different situation. Some of them were living on their own, some living with other families. And so that was my, I think, the only real contact I had with ongoing Jewishness.
Did you go to university?
I didn't go to university. I went into apprenticeship with an architectural firm.
And was that chance, or did you know that's the direction you wanted your life to go in?
It was chance that I went to that particular firm, although it was a very important chance, as far as I was. But I don't know why. The day I left school, almost literally, I decided I wanted to be an architect. Not that I knew what architects do. Still don't know what they do. But I just decided I wanted to be an architect. So, through family friend of us, no, I don't think it's necessary to give the whole story, but my best friend from the hostel, he had a connection through his aunt, or his mother's cousin or something, through an architect called Jack Coyer. And I said to him, ask her if he has room or wish to take on an apprentice. And he interviewed me and said, come up on Monday and start.
That was
in the beginning.
Right, that was very lucky. But I'm sure he recognised that you were worth taking on.
Presumably. People write regularly. He discovered me because he didn't. But it's not the way things were done. 17-year-old boy isn't discovered. But people like that romantic story.
It's more romantic.
Better he discovered me than I discovered
him. Absolutely. And how did you meet your partner? When was that?
The partnership?
No, I think we're meeting your emotional partner.
You mean my wife?
Yes.
My wife.
We thought it was fabulous.
Oh, we're not in the Jewish, not in the synagogue. Yeah, we met, when was that night? I've got to work it out. What, 44 years ago or something? Whatever that date is, what is that? 62.
Once you got the apprenticeship, you were with that partnership thereafter.
Forever,
is that
yes.
Right? So some of these questions about was it hard to get work, did it make any difference that you were Jewish?
Not whatsoever.
Right, that's right. Interesting.
It's funny. My boss was a Catholic, or meant to be a Catholic. He was actually of Italian origin. He wasn't much of a Catholic. He didn't like employing Catholics because he thought they were being employed as a Catholic. That's a complicated state of mind he was in. But he quite liked the idea of employing Jewish people.
And did he see that as a link to some of the architectural traditions of Europe?
If he did, he didn't tell me.
That's interesting.
So you stayed there for an apprenticeship for 5 years?
5 years.
And so where did you go after that?
I stayed on. It's unusual in those days to be an apprentice after 5 years. You usually moved on to another. But I stayed on, and by the middle of the 50s, that is me and my partner, future partner and a friend from the School of Architecture, had more or less taken over the running of the office, although we weren't partners for quite a few years after that.
And so was that the norm then for people going into architecture that they would do an apprenticeship?
No.
Or
there were still quite a few apprentices then, but they were disappearing. And most, I would say by the time of 1955, everybody was going into universities, or schools of architecture. The schools of architecture had been into universities. But that's another story.
Going on that theme, do you think that the apprenticeship system produced a different sort of
not different sort, or better.
Well, that's a different sort.
That depends. I mean, I don't want to go to a great depth. It's not really the topic. But those have been into good offices, offices that are willing to teach their apprentices. Of course, we went to day release too. Mm-hmm. We went to classes, afternoon and evening classes. We were doing the apprentice. And, but with those officers that are interested in the apprentices, I think produced good architects. And those that just used them as cheap labour, and cheap labour it was. When I started in 1945, it was 12 and 10 pence I got. And then the next year I got 22 and 10 pence.
That's quite a jump, actually.
Yes, and then 32 and 10 pence.
You couldn't live on that, could you? Within your architectural career, would you say that your European links made a difference to your vision? No.
I had no European links.
You didn't?
I left
you were too young.
I left Berlin when I was 11. And even I wouldn't claim I had such a degree of immaturity.
Well, obviously, from what you're saying, you really saw yourself as Scottish once you were here, is that right?
Well, that would be an exaggeration. I saw myself as Glaswegian. I'm British.
Right.
I still don't claim myself as Scottish.
Right.
I think it's a little bit arrogant to do so. But no, just me say it now before you ask me. I had no difficulties in my job or in my relationship with other students or in the professional level with my Jewishness or my foreignness. Never had any problem there. In fact, I think my exotic strangeness would probably have helped. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem, that's what I meant to say. Because many people have an idea that somehow they're terrific difficulties they may have had. I'll just put it in perspective. The firm I was in with did a lot of church work, and I designed quite a few Roman Catholic churches. And had to deal with the bishop and the archbishops and the local priests, and there was never any problem.
Well, I suppose they saw you as not being one side or the other side.
Well,
was
I think
it
they
easier
saw me
in
as,
that
as
respect?
Being the Catholic Church, a great believer in making use of everybody for the furtherance of their religious ambitions. So I was just another wheel in the system. But it never, I mean, I had no difficulty at all. I just want to emphasize that. I had no doubt I was Jewish. And they were well aware that I was Jewish. So just to say, while I am not religious at all, and I didn't mix, unfortunately, with Jewish people, I always revealed I was Jewish. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I didn't say I'm Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never any effort to hide my Jewishness from anybody. In fact, we had a good drinking time with priests and things. And it was always recognized that I was not only not Catholic, but not religious.
So, career-wise, what would you say were the highlights in architectural commissions? Which ones stand out for you? Because you said you were involved in churches.
Well, when you first went there, there was no work, hard work was like, because it was just, post-war. But once we started again, about 1950, 51, we did churches. But by 1950, Jack Coyle was a church architect, in a way. But they came to the middle of the 50s, Andy McMillan, and I took it over more or less. And we designed a church that drew a lot of attention in Glenwell, very small, but by that time very modern church. And I drew attention to the firm. And we did a lot of churches. And we built our seminary at Cabros.
Yes,
quite famous.
That's very famous.
And notorious now because it's in ruins. And We built quite a few schools later, and quite a few of them were Catholic schools. I just want to emphasize, I'm not complacent or smug about it. Otherwise, people may have had difficulties. I had no difficulties. If anything, it was a positive thing that it was a bit exotic and a bit recognizable, so that we stood out a little bit. But as far as my career is concerned, even my social life, I've had no problems.
And within these various commissions, how much of a free hand did you have?
Pretty well, a free hand. Well, you must understand how it happens. I mean, people often ask me that question. And people wouldn't come to you if they didn't want you. Architects public. I mean, the work they do is public. If somebody wants to go to look at, know what kind of buildings I do or work we did, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a accessible. Examples of your work are always available. So if a priest comes to you, or the bishop comes to you and wants you to design, he knows what kind of architect you are. So they're self-regulating in a way. So, no, we had no problem. Occasionally, if you have an argument with a client, it was always amicable and very interesting, in fact.
Do you see yourself as following a particular trend in Scottish architecture?
Take away the word Scottish.
In general, world,
in
European?
Modern architecture. Well, more or less European. Modern architecture. I would call it modified modern. I mean, it's not trying to get away from modern architecture.
Mm.
It's to enrich it with some things that the earlier moderns had abandoned. In the meantime, I think. But that's a long story. I taught in the School of Architecture.
Oh, sorry, in the School of Art.
No, at the School of Art.
Right.
They were then connected at that time with the university, because the university gave degrees, because the art school wasn't able to give degrees. But I taught in the art school on a part-time basis.
When did you start teaching?
About 1970, till about 3 years ago, on a part-time basis. Design, teaching design, tutoring students, lecturing. And I've been out for, what, how many years, from 70 to about 97 or something.
And so what was the last commission that you were involved in? Can you remember?
Depends what you mean by last commission. The last important commission was a college in Cambridge, a new college in Cambridge, Robinson College. That was our last important work. After that, they collapsed the firm. Because work was difficult to get. It's like now, not quite as bad as now, but almost as bad. Almost all our work had to do somewhere with the welfare state and the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we did schools, hospitals, colleges, and when that stopped, which it did,
mm-hmm.
our workload disappeared. Because we had never any real reputation in industrial or commercial work, which was the big thing after about 1980 or so. So we couldn't find any more clients. And the McMillan, who was my business partner, he went to run the school, the Glasgow McIntyre School of Architecture. And at one stage, I got a chair in Edinburgh in 1984, the chair of architecture at the university, Edinburgh, not Glasgow.
And does Edinburgh tend to have a different style, would you say? Or does it just depend who's teaching within the schools?
Well, no, that's again. It depends on the relationship, in my view, it's my favourite topic of conversation, the relationship between the School of Architecture and its university.
Right.
Until, what was it about, I'm not sure the exact date, but in the 60s sometime, well, in the late 50s, it was decided that all schools of architecture who had previously had to be freestanding or been attached to art schools or to technical colleges, and some of them to universities, should all go into universities.
And do you think that's limited them?
And very much so. I think it's the worst place in the world for schools of architecture being universities for all kinds of reasons. One of them because the universities are not too interested in vocational subjects, and also because the university. Architecture is also controlled by the RBA and other bodies, and there's a conflict there between the autonomy of the university. Anyway, the university is not a good place for architects. Architecture, I should say. Talking about it would take a couple of days to discuss this issue. So I've not been to Edinburgh. Ideally, I went to Edinburgh, I think, because one, we didn't have much work or any work, and two, I really felt that I could make some contribution to a very moribund school, because in these universities, especially Edinburgh, nobody ever leaves. The staff stay on forever. There's nobody else will have them. And I thought that might make a difference. It didn't work out that way. I was very unwelcome by the staff. So I left after 7 years.
So why was that? Was that because you were from Glasgow?
Partly from Glasgow, and partly they ran this school with a great autonomy of the staff. I don't think anybody ever told them what to do, or checked on their work. And I decided that they did look at what they're doing. And I think that's one of the areas of difficulty, because they just wouldn't. But they didn't want my leadership, that's for sure. They've been quite happy running their own classes on their own way, and if somebody came into town, get involved. They were very less than happy about this.
And was the whole idea of modernism part of the problem there?
No, absolutely no. Like, obviously, there are people who didn't believe in modernism, but by 1980, middle 80s, that was a debate that was more or less over. Still, there's still residual people who believed in, I'll call it neoclassicism, call it what you like, or what you call Scottish architecture. But that wasn't the issue. It wasn't an issue with architecture or design. It was a Bishop Hotterhouse School of Architecture. And if you want to make changes, I mean, first, after, I would say, 3 weeks, then you had made a mistake. I stayed on for 7 years. But the first thing I was told when I wanted to make some changes, this is a democratic school, so you've no, you know. Secondly, they said, and when I first realized I'd made a mistake, when I referred to it as a school of architecture, which we did in Glasgow and most schools, they said, this is not a school of architecture. It's a department of architecture of the University of Edinburgh. So the interest was more in relation to the university than teaching architecture. So this didn't work for me. But in the meantime, of course, I didn't just teach, but I was also on various visiting boards to other schools of architecture. I was also on the RIB panel, and I was sort of external examiners to a lot of schools and things. So I have quite a long experience and involvement in teaching. In fact, last year, Andy McMillan and myself got an award, a financial award, which was very nice, for the best teachers of that year.
That's great.
Or ever, no matter. So, not boastful about it. It's not too difficult to be the best teacher. But the point I'm making is my involvement in teaching is not only extensive, but over a long period of time. We built a significant number of churches, built a seminary at Club Halls, we built quite a few schools and colleges, built student residences in Hull. We built, as I said, a major new college in Cambridge, and we worked quite a lot for Wadham College in Oxford. So we had a sort of national reputation. And the same. And worked out of Glasgow. But while I was doing all this, I had other fingers in pies. I was, for 11 years, I was on the Scottish Fine Art Commission. And for 5 years, I was with the Scottish Arts Council. And various other things I did. So I'm just mentioning that, because we're integrated into the...
Yes, I was...
The establishment, we'll call it.
Yes, I was thinking about that when you were speaking. You really moved completely away from the Jewish community, didn't you?
And they're not interested in architecture. I mean, in our office we had 2 or 3 Jewish apprentices or assistants. I don't know what happened to most of them, but almost most of them didn't go and be architects, because their parents didn't approve of being architects. Jewish people don't want architects.
Why do you think that is?
Because they don't think it's safe enough job. I mean, a lot of them want to be artists, the children of them. And parents wouldn't stand for it, so they said, well, I'll be an architect. Well, they just about got away with that. But there's no doubt we are the same. 2 or 3 Jewish young people in our office. And they were usually against approval of their parents. Because it's not a secure job. You have to be a dentist or a doctor. Oh, no, I have to do if you're Jewish. So that's battled by disconnection, isn't it? A deliberate effort. It's just, there's no common ground, to be quite honest. There was one Jewish architect in Glasgow, quite well known, called Baron Berkowitz. But he was very commercial, money-making architect. We have had money-making architects. And as I said, I didn't move away from them. I was never with them. I mean, my experience, incidentally, and my understanding is the Jewish community weren't all that happy to have all these refugees coming to Glasgow.
Do you
think
so?
They wanted the sleeping dogs to keep lying.
Well, that seems to be traditional, isn't it?
Yeah.
A fear of too many foreign people. That,
well, not foreign people.
Well, they still
the minded community that, you know what I mean? I don't want to go into that. It's not a pleasant subject. Mm. But definitely. I mean, in terms of taking children overseas, as refugees, I should say, the Jewish community didn't make a great contribution to that. Almost all the people you met as kinder transporters went to non-Jewish families. I have no statistics, but I don't know many people went to Jewish families.
I think a lot of them were just beginning to settle and didn't want to disturb
the
equilibrium.
Well, no, I don't necessarily blame them, but it's a characteristic of the existing established community. So, but with me, it's to do with my job, to be living in the West End, my non-interest in religious Jewishness, right? Somebody asked me what are you, I say, well, I'm a secular Jew or I'm an ethnic Jew, and I make no attempt to hide that. In fact, I'm rather quite pleased to be Jewish, but it doesn't mean for me to go to synagogue and mix religious.
But it's interesting that you said that your children still had a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's...
And
my wife.
I think it does sort of depend quite often.
Yeah, no, there's no harm attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming anybody. I want them to feel Jewish. I have no demand on them from a religious point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to extend the discussion a little bit, a Jew needs to have some reason for being Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being treated as a Jew, I mean, whether negatively or positively. So you need to have to give them some backbone for that special relationship you have. Well, I have no problem being Jewish. There's never any doubt that my Jewishness was a factor in the relationship with non-Jewish people. Not to say that's necessarily negative, but you cannot be a Jew without being outed. Even my best friends have always know that I'm Jewish, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They make remarks or give special attention to it. But that doesn't bother me. I'm quite happy about that.
So how did you actually meet, now that we know, wife rather than partner? We just thought we'd be correct.
So I don't mind. But according to my rabbi, we're not publicly married, so it doesn't matter.
That's more exciting. So tell us anyway.
It was a put-up job, actually, I discovered later. I was invited to a cocktail party, and Daniel was invited to the party with the ulterior motive that we would meet, and we did.
That's very romantic.
Very romantic.
And that was Gertrude Bedtime, who died about a month, 2 months ago.
You don't know Gertrude?
She was a friend of my mother's, and
right.
She invited me to this cocktail party in order to meet Izzy.
That's very nice. So You're not from Glasgow originally.
No, I was born in France.
Right.
I came here in 1953 with my parents.
So where from?
My mother was from Vienna, my father was from Germany.
Right.
He had died, my mother remarried, also somebody from Germany. But
he got a job here after the war, she wasn't a refugee.
Right. So how did you end up in Glasgow?
My stepfather got a job in Motherwell.
Ah,
by
right.
A French company who then collapsed and we stayed.
And obviously, I mean, Motherwell is just like France with a slightly different accent.
Yeah, just like France, especially.
So that's interesting when you were saying about, so with your children, did you decide to talk to them in English then?
Always.